Kenneth McFarlane joins us now. He's a physicist at Norfolk State University who works with CBEF, and he's here to explain in lay terms the science behind the Continuous Electron Beam Accelerator facility. Dr. McFarlane, what's a CBEF and why on earth would we want one?
Well, it's a particle accelerator. It's built to study nuclear physics, issues in nuclear physics. We care because we care about knowing about the world we live in. You can ask what practical benefits might come from this, and the answer is, frankly, we don't know. As an example of how long it takes, if you look at your TV set, you'll see for most TV sets there's a big glass tube. Then that's what you look at. And what that is a very close copy of is the first particle accelerator ever built, which was built about 100 years ago in the late 1890s to study the properties of electrons as they knew it at that time. And it was something like maybe 40 years before that got applied to TV. So the things we learn now and the apparatus we build now may take 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or longer years to apply. But if we don't do it, you know, those applications may never happen.
Tell us a little bit about CBEF itself. It was proposed in 1976. It was first just came up with the idea, and then I think they broke ground in the late 80s. And now this year it's just complete, isn't it?
That's correct. It ran beam this July for the first time into an experimental hall. It has a lot of similarity to your TV tube, which actually accelerates a beam of electrons to the screen. The beam hits the screen and makes a bright spot, and then that bright spot is moved over the screen to give you the illusion of a moving picture.
For an accelerator, it's very small, isn't it?
For accelerator, it's very compact, yes.
Give us an idea of its dimensions.
Oh, it's about half a mile around. It's about the size of a typical horse racing track, in fact.
And so the electron beam goes around this ten times and ends up going about 5 miles.
Right.
That's a long way for a really small particle to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's true. But to keep it on track is technically a very demanding job. So if you go look at the accelerator, you'll see that it's a very sophisticated device with many measuring tools to make sure that the electron does stay on track. And that's the one of the ways technology is being developed, the control technology to keep these electrons going down the middle of the beam pipe, which is quite small, an inch or so, to keep the electrons going down there is a technically very demanding job.
Give us an idea of some of the dimensions, how fast the beams are going, and
the magnets that steer it are, they would fit on a good-sized kitchen table. Of course, there are many of them strung out along a 1 mile circumference, roughly. The beam itself, this beam is something one has to be very careful with, because if it hits the wrong thing, it has enough power to do a fair amount of damage. But it also has the power, it's a very bright light. What you might say is that CBEF provides us with a very intense light, with very capable of probing deep into the structure of matter. And so the brightness of the light allows us to look at very fine detail.
As I understand it, the electron beam is a series of electrons, which are sort of the particles that circle on the outside around an atom. And these are being shot at a nucleus of an atom to break it apart and see what it is. Is that right?
Right. Basically, we make a stream of electrons in a vacuum at high energy, many times more than is used, for example, in a TV tube. And we shoot those at a target, which is usually a small piece of a specific kind of material that has atoms with nuclei. And we look at the electrons that may scatter off any of them, may collide with any of them.
Now, when I was in school, and I understand it's still being taught in school today, that the nucleus of an atom is made up of a neutron, which is sort of a neutrally charged particle. It doesn't have a positive or negative charge, and also a proton that's positively charged. And I understand that, the idea of how a nucleus is composed is changing. And now we're talking about quarks and gluons.
Right. In the last 20 years, it's been learned that protons and neutrons themselves are made up of particles called quarks. So each proton is made up of three quarks. Each neutron is also made up of three quarks. So that gives us a different picture of the nucleus. You have quarks, which we could say are like the bricks of which nature, or protons and neutrons, are made up. So that we need a mortar to hold them together. So we call the mortar for the nuclei and for protons and neutrons gluons. It's glue, right?
Makes sense.
And glue. Physicists used to have a classical education. We used to give everything Latin and Greek names.
Right.
But now we don't. We invent names like gluon from glue, and quark comes from James Joyce, Ulysses. It's a made-up word.
Some of the names of the different quarks are interesting, too. Isn't there up and down and truth and beauty, and are those the right particles?
Right, right. There are six types of quark that we know of, and we call them the up, the down, the charmed, the strange, and truth and beauty. But actually, it's more common now to refer to them as top and bottom. But along with the six quarks go eight types of gluon. And one of the things that nuclear physics has not studied in the past is the properties of the gluon in the nucleus. And CBEF is the opportunity to look at that and try and isolate how gluons can be seen and how they affect the properties of nuclei at the energy scale that CBEF works.
And so CBEF is going to help sort of describe these relationships so that we understand them better.
Right. I mean, what CBEF will do is we'll look at the nucleus in detail. We will look at properties of the proton and neutron which result from the details of the quark and gluon structure. Okay. We will also try to make new particles in which the gluons in the particles have show themselves by moving in certain ways. Okay, so that we, by doing that, we will understand how the gluons work. The other forces that we work with, like gravity, the further apart the particles are, the weaker the force gets. So you can take an electron out of an atom, you can study the electron by itself. So you can look at the electron and learn about its properties and then put it together and understand how it fits in. The quarks are different because it turns out that the force between quarks doesn't get weaker as you pull quarks apart. It gets stronger. Okay. So it's as if quarks are held to each other by rubber bands, and the harder you try and pull them apart, okay, the further you try and separate them, the more they pull together. Okay, so in fact, we cannot pull a quark out of a nucleus or a proton and study a quark by itself.
Tell us about your affiliation with CBEF. What kind of work are you doing with them?
I'm just joined Norfolk State University in Norfolk, and I have a joint appointment with CBEF. And CBEF and Norfolk State have agreed to establish a group working in nuclear physics, mostly at CBEF. We just started this summer, so right now we're developing our experimental program.
Kenneth McFarlane is a physicist at Norfolk State University who works with CBEF. This is With Good Reason. I'm Laura Womack.